This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. In the last few weeks, emotions on the road heated up when a hearing was held on a state house bill that would have imposed a license fee on bicycles and would also have given local governments the power to restrict when bicyclists could actually use the road and where. That bill was eventually withdrawn by its sponsors. However, the tensions between cyclists and drivers remains. Why is that? Michael Elliott is Associate Professor of Public Policy and City and Regional Planning at Georgia Tech. Professor Elliott, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, thank you very much.
First off, are you a cyclist in addition to, I assume, being a driver?
I am. I largely commute by bicycle and have done so for most of my life.
And have you had any major incidents with drivers?
No, not really. Despite 40 years of bicycling, I have, in fact, had a relatively safe commute wherever I've gone.
And as a driver, have you ever had that moment where you're approaching a cyclist or a group of them and had some irritation with them?
I think I have a fairly high tolerance for how bicyclists act, but I certainly have seen behaviors that are not consistent with the rules of the road. So,
whatever happens with this bill, and it appears it's going nowhere at this point, we still have the basic problem that the bill said it was trying to address, which is cyclists and drivers sometimes competing for the same little patch of road. Are there trends in your work that you see that tell you, okay, this situation is going to get either better or worse?
Well, right now we're in a situation where it's probably getting worse because the number of people commuting by bicycle or using recreational rides has increased and will probably continue to increase. And over time, though, the infrastructure to provide for both the bicycles and for the cars has been expanding so that the opportunities for travel by bicycle have become safer over time and also allows for both cars and bicycles to work more effectively over time. But that's going to take a significant period of time to get the infrastructure up to that point.
And we have had some examples in the last year or so of some very bad wrecks involving cyclists and cars. There was one fatality near Decatur that got a lot of attention. Is that typical of where we might be headed, or is it actually an exception to the trend?
Well, I'm not sure I can say very much about the statistics of bicycle versus car. I don't know that there's any, other than making streets safer, which generally means evening out the flow of traffic, providing a safe distance between the bicyclists and the cars, and sometimes it may also mean separating out the pathways so that the bicyclists, in fact, have alternative ways to get through the city. All of those things together are going to be needed in order to make it increase the safety for bicyclists and enable cars to move through the system.
But given the state of city budgets these days, do you anticipate that we'll be able to see these kinds of infrastructure changes on any kind of large scale that would allow cyclists to move safely and cars to move safely for long stretches of road?
Well, there are two different problems here. One of them has to do with roads that are designed to be arterial roads, that where you can go significant distances. And in that regard, we're actually not particularly successful at building safe ways to incorporate bicycles into those longer roads. We actually have done much better on roads that typically don't have high volume driving. So I think that the issue of how do we deal with arterials is not an easy issue to deal with. We, in fact, will need to significantly alter arterial roads before bicycles can safely ride on them, and that is not happening very fast. A lot of the funding for this is a combination of federal, state, and local funding. It's not all local funding. but it has to be a priority in a local community before, in fact, those investments will be made in bicycles. So bicycle riders have done a fair amount to try to raise the profile of bicycles as a mode of transportation and to get some of these investments in to take place, but it's not happening really fast.
It's a political question, in other words.
No, it's a political question. it's an allocation of resource question, and whenever resources are tight, there are going to be debates about how to allocate those resources.
At the same time, we've also had, in the last year or two, a state law passed where, in an attempt to keep accidents from happening, the state said you have to have, I think it's 3 feet between a cyclist and a car. There are a lot of roads where that's not going to be too possible. So is that law having any effect at all when it comes to urban planning and urban design?
First of all, it raises awareness in terms of what the responsibilities are of car drivers. That for instance, there are times when car drivers need to not pass bicycles when it's not safe to do so, and the state law makes it clear what constitutes a safe situation, which is that there needs to be 3 feet. And it hopefully makes car drivers more aware of when they are too close to bicycle drivers. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that if, in fact, you're on a road which has a divide and which you're not allowed as a driver to cross, can create conflicts between bicyclists and drivers if, in fact, there's not enough room. Many city roads don't have that characteristic. Many city roads are not, in fact, striped, so that it's quite possible for drivers to pass bicyclists in a way that's both safe and legal. And so I don't see huge conflicts there, but again, on roads that are higher volume, you might have problems. But if, in fact, you're going to be using bicycles on roads that have higher volumes, then essentially the issue about putting in bike paths and putting in sharrows that have sufficient width to allow for the safe passing of bicycles by cars, you know, needs to be accommodated. Now, many streets are wider than they need to be for the transportation or the traffic that's on it at the moment, and can be, in fact, reconfigured in a way that uses the same space and allocates it both for bicycles in a clearer lane and for the drivers in lanes that are more narrow, which tends to decrease the speed at which they travel, but would still allow for safe passage between the bicyclists and the car drivers.
But isn't that part of the problem, though? Because what we'll have is, as more people are riding bikes and deciding, hey, I can use this for transportation, like for my commute, not just for a nice ride on the weekend, they're going to want to use those arterial roads, and those are the very roads where it might take the most equipment, delays, and money to fix the road so it's safe for bicyclists and cars to be together.
Yes. I mean, there are system characteristics that need to change before bicycles can be a significantly larger percentage of the amount of commuting. But at the same time, there are other advantages that come from the bicycles in the sense that the number of cars on the road decrease. So it's not a zero-sum game. It's not just that one gains and the other loses, but that they're interactive. And so a city like Atlanta, if it's in fact going to, or any city that's in this area, Decatur or any other city that's in this area, if they're going to be able to improve transportation by bicycles, they're going to have to, over time, make it possible for different parts of the city to be a safe destination on bicycles. And currently, at least in the city of Atlanta, there are significant parts of the city where that's not possible. So, for instance, if you're trying to commute into the Buckhead area, it's very difficult to do so on a bicycle because most of the access points are by arterials. But if you're commuting in an area such as Midtown or going east-west towards Decatur, it's much easier to do so because you have alternative ways to get through. And so at least at the beginning, the major strategies have to do with trying to develop bike routes that use existing infrastructure for moving through the city that keep bicycles off the arterials unless those arterials have been made safe. And so you start with the easy places and the relatively easy places. You increase ridership in those places, and then you tackle the problems that are more difficult over time.
So I'm asking you to put on a prognosticator's hat here. Do you see governments, drivers, cyclists coming together in a way that will address some of the problems that you just outlined? Or are we going to have more of the conflicts that we've already seen and that resulted in the bill that we just saw debated?
Certainly cities that have put significant investments and are planning to put significant investments into improvement in bicycles. So the city of Atlanta is in the process of developing funding resources for significantly expanding bicycle opportunities and safety infrastructure improvements related to bicycles. Decatur has done that over a longer period of time and has already progressed reasonably far, and there are other cities that are also doing that. That doesn't mean that we'll keep up with the rate at which bicycle ridership is increasing. I think the Beltline and some of the other paths that have been put in place have certainly increased the recreational use, and not all of these conflicts come about because of commuting. I mean, a fair number of them are also between recreational bicycle users that are on streets and cars. These have provided ways of moving through the city that decrease the amount of conflict between cars and bicyclists. But you can't ultimately get to something like the Beltline without going on a street. So you're still going to have places where cars and bicycles need to work effectively together. And so some of that is having clear rules of the road, and some of it has to do with education, where bicyclists and car drivers both understand what their mutual responsibilities are. And then part of it is common sense. Paying attention. It's easy for both bicycle riders and for automobile drivers to not see each other, not pay as much attention to each other as is needed. Some of that has to do with visibility of the bicycle drivers, and some of it has to do with the distractions of drivers. As bicycle ridership goes up, typically what happens is that it becomes safer. It becomes safer because you develop a culture in which the bicycle rider is, in fact, a constant presence on the streets, and drivers, in fact, act differently when there are more bicycle riders around. And it's one of the strongest statistics about the safety of bicycle riders is that the more you have, the safer they are, at least on a per-mile basis. So we're in a transition period. Places like Atlanta, where as the number of riders go up, you'll see marginal improvements, and you will, in fact, see these conflicts. I don't think that the state laws, per se, having to do with registration, having to do with the kinds of things that were incorporated into the bill, are that helpful in terms of improving the safety of bicycles and the way they interact with cars. I think the major issues have to do with developing safe infrastructure and developing a culture, partially through education, about how drivers and bicycle riders interact with each other.
Are you optimistic that that'll happen?
I think the number of bicycle riders is going to increase, and so I'm optimistic that cities are going to figure out how to do this. It's not necessarily going to be easy, but we have figured it out for pedestrians, and we continue to struggle with some of the issues around pedestrians. We're going to do the same thing around bicycles, and it's going to be an ongoing both debate and evolution in terms of the way that we manage that.
Michael Elliott is an associate professor of public policy and city and regional planning at Georgia Tech. Professor Elliott, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.